Today's episode of the Auburn Daily is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. Predict the over or under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options too, if you didn't know that, where you can still get paid if you win 2 of 3 or 3 of 5 of your spots. And you can have multiple sports in the same parlay. Best of all, you can use promo code Auburn to receive double on your first deposit, up to $100. That's promo code Auburn for double your first deposit. This college basketball season, win some money with Prize Picks and the Auburn Daily. Use promo code Auburn. That is A-U-B-U-R-N. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Auburn Daily Show. I'm your host, Dylan Lark, and joined today by Mr. Andrew Stefaniak. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. The Monday show is usually me and Lance Daw, but he is in Mobile covering the Senior Bowl, which you can watch on Saturday and get a little sneak peek about Derek Hall and Ekwu Liotta as one of their last three chances to raise up their draft stock before the combine and the pro day and, of course, the NFL draft, which takes place on April 27th. But, yeah, a lot of fun down there in Mobile. I hope Lance is having a great time just talking to all those upperclassmen. And, I mean, the Senior Bowl has always been a fun game to watch.
Oh, yeah, the Senior Bowl, you know, and it's a good opportunity for a lot of these guys that have been in school longer. You know, they're not getting drafted straight out after their junior year. So it's a good opportunity. It's always fun to turn that game on and see some Auburn helmets. And it's just an enjoyable game. And it's a great opportunity, you know, for like a Liotta who missed this year with that injury to be able to hopefully make some headway and raise the stock.
And it really sucks because Auburn should have 3 players in this Senior Bowl, but Owen Papo, of course, had an injury. Mm-hmm. So he's sitting out, but he'll be ready for the combine and the pro day. So hopefully he'll pop off on those because I think Papo is going to be really good in the NFL.
I do too.
But to go from some happy news, talking about the Senior Bowl, to some not so happy news, Auburn basketball has suffered their 5th loss of the season to the West Virginia Mountaineers, which kind of hurts me a lot because a lot of my family lives in West Virginia. So they had a lot of stuff to say about that game. But, I mean, the thing about these 5 losses, Andrew, they share one common theme as the biggest issue for the Auburn Tigers going down the road, that the opposing leading scorer has put up 25-plus in all 5 of those losses, and they were all guards. And the stat of the day from Lance Daw's article is they average 28.4 points a game in all of Auburn's losses. And the most recent one is Eric Stevenson, who was at South Carolina last year, who put up 31 points against Auburn. And then you go back to Texas A&M, Tyrese Radford, 30 points. UGA, Terry Roberts, 26. USC, Boogie Ellis, 28 points. And Memphis, Kendrick Davis, 27 points.
You know, to me, I think the most frustrating part about those numbers is looking at those 5 players that you just named and their season averages. Eric Stevenson put up 31 against us. He averages 13.9 on the year. And going into this game, it was right at 13. So he raised his average almost a point in one game. Radford averages 13.6. He had 30 against us last week. Roberts against us when we lost to Georgia, he averages 15. Boogie Ellis averages 16. And Davis averages 21. So every player was substantially above their season average against us. And there's one common theme, like we talked about, they're all guards.
Yeah, and it's just a rough stretch ahead for the Auburn Tigers because the SEC is really loaded at the guard position, especially if you look at the fact that we have to play 2 of those 3 guards again this season. Mm-hmm. And the thing about those 2 guards, they weren't even the best scorers on their team. I know Terry Roberts leads Georgia in scoring, but Cairo Aquindo is probably the best player on Georgia, and Terry Roberts just popped off. And if you look at Tyrese Radford, he's 2nd on the team in scoring, right after Wade Taylor, who, if you listen to me and Tar talk about that game before, we said Wade Taylor was going to be the player we have to shut down, and he still put up 15, but his teammate put up 30. So looking down the road, Auburn needs to find a way to shut down these guards, especially if you look down UGA. You got Terry Roberts again, but you also have Cairo Aquindo hit to watch again. Tennessee, Santiago Viscovi, and Sakai Ziegler. And then you got A&M again with Wade Taylor and Tyrese Radford. It doesn't get any easier. And it's just wrong. It's like, what do you think, Andrew?
To me, there's lots of common themes to these numbers that these 5 players put up. Another big one for me is their heights. you think about our guards. Zepp is what is Zepp 6'1", 6'2"? What's Zepp's height?
I believe he's 6'2".
Yeah, so he's our tallest of in our guard rotation. I believe that Trey Donaldson is around that height, is about 6 foot, maybe 6'1", but with his hair, you know, he's pretty tall with that big hair he's got. But I mean, if you look at these heights, Stevenson was 6'4" on Saturday, Radford is 6'2". Roberts is 6'3", Boogie Ellis is 6'3", and Davis from Memphis is 6 foot tall. So it creates a problem when you have Wendell and KD, who KD is 6 foot, wink, wink. I mean, I don't know about that. And Wendell, you know, 5'11", heck, I mean, you know, I don't know if I agree with that either. And so when you've got Wendell guarding a 6'4" Eric Stevenson, trying to get a hand in his face and pull up jump shots, it's going to be hard for him to truly contest that because, you know, he's not even jumping vertical. He's jumping towards the shot from far away. Stevenson's taking a straight up jump shot. It's hard for him to truly contest that. And Stevenson's threes, when he made them, they didn't touch the net. I mean, they went straight through, they ripped it, and he's a good shooter. Wendell or whatever guard is defending that type of player, or, you know, Stevenson in this case, needs to be able to get to him when he gets the ball and not let him get that shot up. Four of the 6 threes that Stevenson made were completely uncontested. He made a couple circus threes, that one at the end of the shot clock, which was painful, and then the one in the corner as time as we were down a point, and he made one in the corner to put him back up four with a couple minutes left in the game. But besides that, the other 4 threes he made were open shots, and a guy like that, you expect them to make them.
Yeah, and it doesn't really help the fact that Eric Stevenson shot 7 of 10 from the three-point line. And we talked at length about how Wendell Green has stepped up a lot defensively this season. I mean, last season he was borderline awful on defense, but he's leading Auburn in steals. And I think with Auburn, they are really good at defending those guards who are more of the aggressor, more of the drive-in type. That's where Wendell Green's getting all those steals. That's where Jonai Broom's getting all those blocks. When you have guards that we've been playing that don't drive in as much and they are more likely to pull it up and shoot a three or shoot a mid or from the free throw line or anywhere around there, they just can't defend them. Jonai Broom's under the net. He can't jump that high. Wendell Green's too short to be trying to play defense on these guys who are 6'4", 6'2". Because, I mean, he can jump as high as he wants, but that jump shot, he's not going to get up higher than the ball. And if you look down the stretch, I mean, look at all these guys, I think, are all really good shooters. And I mean, we talked about how this game was going to be the easiest game for Auburn with forward play against West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And they still had a forward put at 15. So when I look down the road, I look down the stretch of the season, these guards, yes, they scare me, but there's one forward 4 games down the line who really scares me in this Auburn team, because Brandon Miller is not your typical drive-in type guard or forward. He is a point forward. He will play the point position, and I think if – I don't want to chalk up a game right before it gets played, but Brandon Miller could definitely break the streak of guards putting up 25 and beating us if we're not careful. He could tear us up.
Yeah, Miller, he's a special talent. He's going to be a great player at the next level. And his jump shot is so – and I hate making the Smith comparison because they're not the same player. There's similarities. They're not the same player. But you do get I think of Jabari pulling up from three last year when I see Miller. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful shot for him. He makes it look easy at his big frame. But he can drive it in on you too. And – I agree. If I had to pick a game where a forward's going to break the streak of guards, you know, putting up a lot of points on us, it's going to be Miller. And we're going to have to find a way to combat that. Whether it's – you would have to assume Jalen Williams is going to be guarding him. And that's going to be a tall ask of Jalen to be able to go and lock him down.
Yeah, and hopefully you hope Jonai Broom can kind of shut him down from driving in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I mean, he is averaging 19 points a game, which out of all these players would have been second highest after Kendrick Davis, putting up 21 points, 8.1 rebounds, 1.8 assists, shooting 45% from the field, shooting 44% from the 3-point line. So when you are 6'9", you can't, when you're pulling up from the three, you can't guard that. It's literally impossible to guard that. And Auburn doesn't have a forward. Maybe Jahni Broome could try, but I don't think Jahni Broome is the perimeter defender that he is down low. Mm. And I just don't like the chances of Brandon Miller pulling up from the three-point line against Auburn, especially with the – is the first game in Coleman or is it in
Neville? The first game's in Neville, and then our second-to-last game of the year is in T-Town.
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah, we have him home first at least, so hopefully that can help a little bit. But, I mean, you know, he's a hard player to defend, especially since our fours aren't as tall as Miller. And but like I said, I mean, if you consider Miller a four, I mean, he plays like a one or a two. I mean he's got the size of a four or a five, and he plays like a one or a two. But Treyor, I mean, did he get a minute against West Virginia? I mean, I don't think he did.
I don't remember seeing him on the court at all.
I don't either. And so Treyor, you know, has the height to be able to defend Miller. I don't think he has the athleticism. So I really do think it's going to come down to Williams. And like you said, Broome, I agree, he has the height, but I don't know if he has the athleticism to go out there on the perimeter and defend him. And then if you lose your interior defender, one of the best in the country. So Jalen Williams, and like I said, he's Jalen 6'8". He's going to have to go guard a guy 6'9", 6'10", and he's going to be able to have to get a hand in his face. And if he can't, It's a tough game for us to win, even at home, even in the jungle.
Yeah, and to my Johan Treyor again, yeah, he's not seen a minute since South Carolina, where he actually had a come-out party. Mm-hmm. Put up 8 points against South Carolina, which we've been waiting all season to see a Johan Treyor game. But ever since the South Carolina game, I don't know if he's injured or there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, but he's not seen a minute of playtime on back-to-back losses. And I mean, those losses really needed a guy like Johan Treyor with his athleticism and his height. Mm-hmm. And it's the potential for Johan is there. Yeah. And you hope and pray that he stays another year just to develop. But you have to question, why wasn't he playing those last two games?
It to me, it doesn't make sense. Like you said, when you have your coming out party that you put up 8 points, and obviously that's no explosion, but 8 points for him, I'm pretty sure that was a season high. And he might have had, you know, early in the year had a high. Higher than that, but you know, he made two threes. They were great looking shots. He had a big dunk. It is interesting to me that he goes straight from having 8 points to not getting a minute in two straight games, in games that you lost. It doesn't make sense to me as a guy who, while he hasn't been what we might have thought at the beginning of the year, he's a 5-star recruit. You know the talent's there, so he's got to work through it, and maybe Coach Pearl just doesn't think that's this year, and if that's the case, we might not see a ton of Treyor, but eventually we're going to need him, whether it's this year or next year.
Yeah, and looking at his build, yeah, 6'10", 225, and I went through his scoring games of the for the season. South Carolina, yeah, 8 points is the second highest. Mm-hmm. He scored 8 points again against Colgate, and he put up 11 points against, I believe that's Winthrop.
Okay, yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe he got hurt against South Carolina. They're just not telling us. Maybe they're saving him for the Bama game.
Yeah.
You hope that he is not hurt because
– Exactly.
I love Jahni Broome. I love to walk Kessler Jabari Smith block party from last season. Jahni Broome kept it going, but Brandon Miller is a little step above what we've seen from Alabama the past few years.
Yeah.
We don't have the down low defense to be able to put on the perimeter to stop him. Jahni Broome, yeah, we talked about his athleticism not there, but then you look after that. I mean, at center, Dylan Cardwell, I don't think he can really step up and be that five so Jahni can play the four.
I agree. And then I think you lose that offensive production. If you went that route, I think you lose that offensive production that Broome brings with his play down low. And, you know, and I hate to keep dropping the negativity on everybody, but it does feel like these back-to-back losses bring us onto a bit of a danger zone. And how I feel about that, people got to remember, 5 of our last 9 games, 2 with Tennessee home and away, 2 with Bama home and away, and then a trip to Rupp Arena in Lexington. It's not easy. Then you got Missouri coming to Neville. Missouri coming off a huge win over Iowa State. You've still got to play A&M again. They got your number. You got to play Georgia again. They got your number. Auburn's got to string some wins together right now, or, I mean, truly, this could get a little scary, down the road.
Yeah, and we talk about how West Virginia was supposed to be the easiest game left on the schedule. Well, not easiest game, but probably middle of the road besides Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this stretch of five games is going to be killer. Because, I mean, versus Georgia, at Tennessee, at A&M, versus Alabama, versus Missouri, and then I'd count Vanderbilt as a tough game.
I agree. Because
you have one easy game left on the schedule, and that's Ole Miss, and that's only because they're last in the SEC. But right after Ole Miss is at Kentucky, at Alabama, and you wrap up the season with Tennessee. And you get in the tournament. It's looking very scary for the Auburn Tigers right now if they don't get something going soon.
And I don't want to bring up the potential of not making the tournament, but you have to string wins together. You have to beat A&M. You have to beat Georgia. Of course you have. You have to win those four games. A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Vandy. You have to win those four games. If you win those four games, then that leaves you with six, I believe, with Missouri. And then, like I said, the two home and away with Bama, the two home and away with Tennessee, and in Rupp Arena playing UK. If you win those four games I just brought up, and you find a way to win two or three of those games, again, the five games I just listed, and the game at home against Missouri, you make the tournament, I believe. I don't think it's in jeopardy there. But if you drop one to Georgia and then you lose to A&M, it's going to start to get scary.
Yeah, and just kind of to get off basketball for a little bit so we can have some positivity on this episode. If you didn't know, this past Saturday was Auburn Junior Day, where Hugh Freeze has brought the heat coming to this recruiting class. According to Brian Stoltz on his Twitter, he said Auburn brought in over 180 recruits on Saturday, which if you look to last season with Brian Harsin, Auburn brought in maybe 20. And this is on the same day that Alabama had their junior day. And there are 180 kids in this recruiting class who decided to come to Auburn instead of going to Tuscaloosa. I mean, my mind is blown by that.
And, and that was the excuse last year on junior day. Well, Alabama had their junior day. How are we supposed to get recruits in? We only have 20 guys. Well, Hugh Freeze said, watch, I'll show you. And then brings 180 kids to campus. And a lot of highly sought-after recruits. These aren't, unranked guys. These are serious players in the 2024-25 classes. And I guess the way hearing that stat out loud, you have to smile. I mean, as an Auburn fan, 180 guys were on campus to visit Auburn on Saturday. What Hugh Freeze has done in 3 months now, I mean, it is just amazing, and it is just exciting. I mean, it's truly just exciting for what's coming for us.
And just to go through some of the players that were there, just starting off hot with the number 7 quarterback in the class of 2024, who's potentially going to be a 5-star by the end of his playtime in high school, Antoine Hill, 6'5", 215, came to Auburn. And he said, I hope if I come here, he can do the same thing with me and develop me so I can get where Malik Willis is. I mean, if that doesn't turn you up, I don't know what does. A guy who is willing to come to Auburn just so he can develop like Malik Willis did.
And the thing about Antoine Hill that you have to remember, if I have this correct on who he is a Georgia native that I'm pretty sure I read he was offered by Georgia in 7th grade. I read that. I wrote something up about him this weekend. So you're getting a kid that is supposed to play Georgia. I mean, this kid's supposed to play Georgia. He's supposed to be a Georgia quarterback. And he's saying these positive things about what Hugh Freeze is doing in a comp to a previous Hugh Freeze quarterback who's a current NFL quarterback. It's something where if Hugh Freeze could pull that off, my oh my.
Let me just add in the fact I forgot to mention that Antoine Hill is class 2025. So he's a 4-star, and he has 2 years, 2 more seasons in high school to get to a 5-star. So
he's a sophomore. You got to remember, he's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore. Sophomore in high school, 6'5", 215.
Yeah, I was going to say, and he's massive, an absolute unit of a human being at quarterback, which is just exciting.
And you also have a 6'8", 365-pound Jaquan McRoy, 4-star offensive tackle, who is also on the Plains and had to say, the fan base is amazing, probably the best one I've ever seen. And he's from Pinson, Alabama.
Do me a favor. Say his height and weight again. I just want to hear it one more time.
6'8", 365-pound offensive tackle.
Wow. You can keep repeating it if you want. I mean, if that doesn't get you going, an offensive tackle that big, I mean, he's just going to create holes. He's going to protect your quarterback. We haven't talked about offensive tackles this size in a long time. I mean, think how developed that kid is. He's strong. If you could pull a kid like that and get him on board, you're going to be protecting the quarterback, which is something we haven't seen on the Plains in a long time.
You know, by the size, the biggest offensive tackle that Auburn fans have seen in recent memory wasn't even a tackle out of high school. He was an edge rusher in Prince Tegawango, who is, I mean, I might add, he's going to the Super Bowl with the Chiefs at tackle. But, I mean, the biggest offensive tackle that Gus Malzahn ever recruited was an edge rusher. Mm-hmm. They changed positions. And just go down some more players, Jamarion Burnett, 4-star running back class 2024. He said that Auburn sticks out big. But he did one of the bad things about the junior day. I don't want to say bad things because they went awesome for Auburn. Cadillac Williams wasn't around because he was sick. But I still think the fact that he really enjoyed Coach Freeze a lot is what he said. I think that really helps. Players were probably coming to see Cadillac and player and other coaches like that. But the fact that this guy came specifically for Cadillac, wasn't there, but he still really enjoyed his time with Coach Freeze, is huge.
And Auburn's been on him for a while. He's a player to know. He's just an unbelievable running back. I mean, he's the size and the speed. He's going to be awesome wherever he plays. Hopefully he plays on the Plains. But it's exciting to know that Cadillac has been recruiting this kid for a long time. But it's also nice to hear that he's starting to create a bond with Coach Freeze, since, you know, obviously Coach Cadillac is going to be his position coach, but you want to have a good connection with your head coach if that's the guy you're going to play for. So it's a positive to hear that he enjoyed getting to know Coach Freeze.
Yeah, and I got one more guy that, but I'm probably going to end off the show with what Zion Ferguson said. But do you have anything else to say before we head off?
All I have to say is there's a lot to be optimistic and excited about in Auburn football right now.
And I'll let Zion Ferguson close this out. 4-star composite corner, already committed to LSU, class 2024, had this to say about Coach Freeze. He said he is going to make an immediate impact this year. And that will get me to run through a brick wall. Get more players saying that. But with that being said, I'm Dylan Lark of the Auburn Daily and of the College Loop. You can follow me on Twitter right there. Andrew, if you want to – there you are over there. If you want to go ahead and plug yourself a little bit.
Yeah, of course. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Stefaniak. You can read all the stuff I've got going on at auburndaily.com, and that would be greatly appreciated.
That being said, this has been the Auburn Daily Show. Thank you.